We are here today with the absolutely gorgeous and out of this world Donna Donatella, or Donna Trumplova. I don't know what you prefer to be called.
It depends. It depends whatever you prefer. Because, you know, every person have a different perception. So I trust you with this decision.
Are you originally from Russia?
Of course, I'm from the Russia. I'm from the Krasnoyarsk. I think you're from the Russia too.
I am from the Russia. When did you come to America?
I just come a few years ago, you know, and I've been going back and forth, and there have been so many things happening in my life. It's just been a very exciting journey. So I don't know, actually, guys, like which things you've been following, which things you've been seeing from what I have done.
Well, one of my favorites was the Donna Trumplova and the Siberian Sex Circus.
Oh, I'm happy you like this.
I was really attracted to you, not only from your art and from your natural beauty, but also the way you've cultivated this community of, they seem curious, they seem witty, but also whimsical, like they like silliness a little bit. And because there's so much tension these days, you know, sometimes, you know, we forget because we have an art show, an art culture show that helps us elevate dialogue and, you know, talk through things that, you know, sometimes, you know, might start an argument at a Thanksgiving dinner or something. But I also think that despite we're in this climate of tension, there are a lot of people who haven't lost their curiosity. They might be afraid to speak up. A lot of people, they're afraid of, you know, upsetting people at their work. They're worried about putting their foot in their mouth and, you know, like, why bother? Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about sport. But I think that some comics, like in the spirit of rebelliousness, have kind of been like, what, who makes these rules? Like, why is everybody so sensitive? So I like how you just sort of cut right through and you shine that way.
Thank you so much. It means so much to me. You know, this compliment, I'm very happy actually to talk to you, voice, because I watched your show yesterday. I watched some of your podcasts and I really like what you're doing. I love what you're doing because I can see that you are working very hard to expand your own perception and the perception of your audience, you know, and what you're saying that is sometimes it's hard to build the audience, you know, but don't worry about this. Just keep doing your things and people catch up at their own time. What you say about the Siberian sex circus, you know, I think the only problem with the Siberian sex circus was that it was ahead of its time. It was so fresh. It was so much fun. It was just explosion, you know, the creative explosion. We had all these types of the peoples, you know, the left peoples, the alt-right peoples. I don't care. I think there are so many layers to the human experience, you know, and especially as the artist is important to embrace this. So what I say, I'm creating, you know, the intergalactic, interdimensional art. So it's not just bound to like perceptions of like the Russian, the American, you know, it's all very narrow perception. So what I love to do, I love to mix these categories to open up perception for the people, you know, in the way like the psychedelic things doing or the meditation doing. I'm bringing the same energy into my art.
Do you notice that you get a different reaction from people who are on the left as opposed to the right from your content, or is it pretty much the same?
You know, it's really interesting things that I've been discovering in the America, and you know, something that I will be posting very soon, there is this, I travel around the America, you know, and I after the Siberian sex circus, I discovered so much about this human psychology and these kind of things. And then I understand, I see there is this conflict, you know, the people is not liking each other, which is shocking to me because I think America is about, you know, the United States of the America and everybody coming together and then interacting and doing these cool things. But then people are here saying, no, it's actually not going like this. We don't like each other. And it's been the shocking to me. So what I did, you know, I went back to the Siberia and then I was working with my shaman ancestors on my mother's side. You know, I went into deep, deep meditations, into the cave and doing all this exploration of the human consciousness, you know, and then I get the upgrade for myself And now I'm coming back and I can share this knowledge with the American peoples. So, and actually what I discovered is that because my frequency is becoming higher, I am attracting totally different level peoples to me as well. You know, and these interactions I've been having is just amazing, you know. So I went to the Texas, you know, I went to the New York City and then I went to the Texas and I made these interviews and I asked people many different questions. But the interesting thing was, you know, that people actually, it doesn't matter the left, the right, when you look in the people's soul, you know, behind this kind of ideologies or this kind of ideas or this kind of identities that they're creating, you know what the personality mean, you know, it means from coming from the word the mask, you know, and it's just like when we're taking on this personality so much, we cannot see behind it, you know, and we sometimes cannot see behind our own, you know, because we get confused. What is our internal being? What is our immortal being? And what is our perception and the idea of ourselves, you know? And then also we see other people only this superficial layer. But when I connect with the people in a deeper level, you know, some magic is happening. And it doesn't matter, people's on the left, people's on the right. You know, there are many different people on with different layers of the perception. And my job, you know, with all this art that I'm creating now, is to expand this perception, you know, and to transcend this kind of categories of the left and the right. You know, my very good friend, Miss Lady Alchemy, maybe you know what happened to her, you know, she got kicked out. She was the burlesque dancer, and then she's supporting the Donald Trump, and then everybody kick her out from all this, like all these other performers. They bully her into, you know, not being performer in the New York City. So, but I was like taking all these types of the peoples on my Siberian sex circus, you know, this is why it was so refreshing energy. I didn't care. I bring her on the same episode and some peoples from the Antifa, some musicians. And I just, they all getting along so well on my show because of all this energy of the love that was on the show.
And were these real Antifa people, like actual Antifa members?
Yes, they were, these are the Antifa members. They were the musicians.
Wow.
But it was the Easter special episode. So I had like the bunny rabbits and we were all painting the Easter eggs together. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to transcend this kind of idea. You know, ideas about their identity.
The National Arts Club, it's a very unusual committee that I've become the chair of because we had people like Graham Hancock and, you know, we've had people he's amazing. And there's always been this romance I've had with ancient civilizations. We're trying to figure out like what happened before us. What are some things that we can look at today? Like, you know, the alignment of the pyramids, the Sphinx, looking at the constellation of Leo, you know, all this very interesting stuff that points to us being way, way, way older than we realize. But the problem that I run into today is there are a lot of people out there who are unfortunately thinking that we already know everything there is to know, or rather whatever else we have to discover, it's still going to show that we are nothing but these meat bags with electricity and nothing beyond that. And
so that's a big leap because I think the people who reject Graham Hancock because he tries to create a coherent theory with a bow on it when he has a lot of like gaps. And he overcompensates and then tries to present it as like an authority. And I think people are just saying like, he might show you good evidence that you should use to follow your nose. But if you're taking his word for it, he's a bad source. He is an unreliable source. You can't prove anything true. You can only prove things false. And so what Graham Hancock has shown to me is that there is a lot of overlooked information that does seem like it would alter the mainstream narrative. But I'm not sure if, you know, he starts talking about, hey, maybe the psychics built the pyramids.
If we look at the things from our simplistic perspective, you know, we will never get to the bigger understanding because, you know, words and all these kind of the labels that we assign to things, it's actually just the very last thing that comes into this whole universal experience. So if we try to use words and so-called understand things in the words, and like, you know, it's just so limited that it's impossible to do this. You know, you understand me? Mm-hmm. So we need to understand and conceptualize, not even these things, you know, what we can prove, what we cannot prove. You know, Indian people say, you know, truth and facts are not always the same things, you know, and it's a different perspective. It's not like the Western perspective, which I'm not saying is the good things, I'm not saying it's the bad things, but I'm saying there are many, many different ways to look at the thing. So if we expand our perception, and I absolutely understand, if I can use this word, Mr. Graham Hancock in this, you know, because I don't think he's trying as much to work with the facts as he is pointing to the truths, you know, and the truths are that, you know, there are things so far beyond our regular everyday perception, you know, like, for example, the time, okay, the human brain, you know, this mechanism that we use is just, it's we don't even know. Okay, I should rephrase it. Most people don't know the capacities of this beautiful instrument, you know, and they use very, very small percentage of their brain. So, and when we understand that the brain and the time, you know, for example, is linked together, you know, there's, you don't care if the time exists or not if you do not have the brain. Like, you cannot make any assumptions about this human realm, about this experience, if you would not have this body and this brain to process the information through, right? It's like if there is the internet, but there is no computer to access this internet.
Well, the internet you're talking about, I don't know if I'm necessarily accessing it or not, but in terms of the amount...
Of course you are, you're the consciousness.
Oh, yes. Well, let's say, for example, in the dream state, ever since I started meditating, doing the Wim Hof method, I've been having a dream that I was able to write down pretty much every single day for 3 years now. And the other things that happen is you're able to see these vortexes of blue and purple colors. You can manipulate them. You know, there is an actual, at least in terms of people being able to see something, there is an actual third eye. There is an actual bright spot in the center that you're able to see that can change shapes. The limitation that I currently have in terms of seeing things while I meditate, and I don't mean like thinking of things, I think like actually seeing them when I close my eyes, so it's not just black, it's something else. That something else right now is very simple. It's just vortexes of blue and purple that can turn into other more complicated structures, like three-dimensional spires, for instance. But that is the limitation for me. My question to you is, can people go beyond that where when they close their eyes, they're not just seeing purple and blue stuff on top of black, but they could see actual visualizations that are not that far away from what I'm able to see right now looking at you guys?
Short answer, yes. It's possible to do this. And it's actually, you know, it's just a very natural thing, but our mind is, in a society, we don't talk about these things, so we're not conditioned to think about these things, you know, but these are all things absolutely possible, and they're absolutely realistic. And one thing about the reality, and when we use this word reality, we have to understand that sometimes we're very arrogant, you know, when we think that, oh, reality, like something is unrealistic or is realistic. This reality, excuse me, okay, but I will be honest to you, is not even that realistic. Or not, you know, like some people think, oh, are you living in the simulation or the simulation theory or the matrix? Yes, we are living in the matrix. This reality is not even that realistic. It's okay. Yeah, I respect it. It's very, very realistic.
You notice the glitches?
I see the glitches, but the thing not about the glitches, it's just there are much, much, much higher levels of reality, like so much more realistic. If you go to those layers, you will not believe that you believe this, you know, fake reality, that this was the reality. This reality, I can tell you from my personal experience, this reality is just about like the Facebook, you know, for this reality, you know, where we have like a little picture, a little idea of who we are. you know? And we put like the name, we put like the picture, and this is me, you know, it's like the symbol for me. Okay. But this human being that we think we are is just a Facebook profile for our higher selves, you know, and through the meditation, through sexual practices, through, you know, the psychedelic, for example, or shamanic experiences, we can access these things in our higher self. And this is absolutely the goal of our existence, you know, what people are calling the enlightenment, what people are calling the evolution of the consciousness. This is absolutely possible. It's not just a possible, but is what we should go forward to look, you know, to do. Is our goal to accomplish this.
Well, some practical advice I'm interested in getting as far as Kundalini awakening goes. My Kundalini's been in my back for the past several years. It's been going up, down, but it hasn't been anything electric. And in a way, I think that's good because I heard horror stories of people like Gopi Krishna wrote a whole book about it, how his Kundalini ended up going like not in the right way. And he ended up suffering like an intense amount of heat for months on end. So what practical advice would you give for people who have this energy that goes up their spine, that theoretically, for people who don't know about Kundalini, this energy through your spine is supposed to go up. It's supposed to have you as the observer meet with the observed, where you are in a state of oneness with the universe. And after that, I don't know, maybe some other cool stuff happens. But anyway, what practical advice would you give for people who are undergoing the Kundalini awakening not to screw it up?
So, you know, many people are practicing this tantra and all these kind of other exercises to awaken their Kundalini as if it's the goal, you know, but it's just one of the experiences. And when the person is unprepared and when the body and the consciousness and perception is not prepared, you can really, I'm sorry, but fuck yourself up a little bit, you know, or actually pretty much. But there are other types of the, if you want to do like sexual practices, my cats are going a little bit crazy. If you want to do, for example, through sexual experiences, you can have and have these kind of experiences, but you need to know the techniques, you know. For example, there are all these Taoist practices that I've been also practicing. For example, actually, in the Wudang Mountains, you know, if you're familiar, I just talked to my friends in the Wudang, and actually they say the coronavirus there is calming down, so it's not that bad, I think, and I hope. So anyways, but that's about the experiences. Yes, and these kind of experiences, of course, they were protected in the specific families and explored from generation to generation in like very, you know, exclusive Chinese families. But then, you know, they've opened up a little bit, if you're familiar with maybe with the work of Mr. Mantak Chia, you know, he's also one of my teachers. And if you're not, I recommend you maybe look into some of his work, you know. And there are really levels of your existence that you can access, you know, without just being so shocking that your Kundalini awakened. You do like you, if you do not, for example, I've noticed this interesting thing that since I've been, you know, doing the psychonautic experiences and working with my consciousness, people have this interesting thing they say. To lose the consciousness, you know, when there's somebody passing out and, you know, something happened or like too much heat or cold or something, you just pass out. But it's actually something really interesting I've been noticing, you know, sometimes I've felt a little bit dizzy or something. And then I feel, okay, I'm about to lose the consciousness. But when you know how your consciousness actually working and when you're able to focus in the right way, you understand that it's actually consciousness losing the body. So you're just losing the body, you're not losing the consciousness. When you are unaware of this process, when you have not done this work, you know, when the Kundalini awaken is just the shock for your system and you're unable to process this. So I think awakening Kundalini, although you can work with this energy, but just awakening is not the goal. You know, goal is to get to know yourself. And there are many, many practices that you can do. You know, it depends what you feel is closer to your heart. Sometimes I think actually doing the psychedelic or doing the, as they say, the plant medicine is actually very, very helpful. You know, how do you have any experience with this? I'm actually really curious.
I have not done psychedelics yet, but I would like to. You can tell.
Yes. Because, you know, as I'm coming from a very loving place, as I say this, You have a very scientific mind, and this is awesome. I love the scientific thinking. I have the same thing myself, but you really have an attachment to the idea of explanation and understanding. You think that we as the human beings, as limited as we are able to grasp the concepts that are way beyond our immediate reality. Is impossible. That's why shamans are saying, do not use the word understand, because understanding, you cannot understand anything. If you really understand or see how complex is the universe, you know, how many different systems are at play, you can just like observe it, you know, take it in. You can operate with certain things, but we can never grasp it all in the way that we would be able to write it in a book and say, this is this, and this is this, and now we have figured it all out. So this is the difference between maybe your perception and Mr. Graham Hancock, because he sees that there are so many different layers, and even if there are holes in his, you know, the storyline or something, trust me, he's the million miles already behind. He doesn't even care if he can figure these kind of small things out, you know. Well, most people think they're just fighting about these small things and the splitting hairs and just saying, oh, this is like this or this is like this. Everything in the universe is constantly evolving, is constantly shifting, is constantly changing. As they say, the only thing consistent is the change. And there are actually two books I can recommend to you. And two books that I think is the most important books for everybody to read, you know. The book number one, I think everybody in the schools should be reading them. These books have the capacity, just like the psychedelic drugs or other things, you know, practices, expand your consciousness. If you really meditate on these concepts, I promise to you, after some time, you will have a different perception. So book number one that I really recommend all people who watching would read this is called The Kybalion. Talk about the seven hermetic principles, you know, and those are the principles how on every level, how the universe is built. You know, there are different laws of like polarity, of the rhythm, of all these things that are shaping our experience. Okay, this is one book that is extremely important for every human being, because we're so used to categorizing things. We're so used to thinking, putting things in the box. This is the good, this is the bad. Now we're fighting against each other. I am the correct, you are the wrong. Now let's fight. And this is just limiting our perception. And while we're fighting with each other, you know, actual real things, we're not even paying attention to them. You know, this is how people become very easy to be manipulated. People start playing the identity games and all these kind of games of like very low consciousness. So this is one book that I really recommend to read. And the other book that I really recommend everybody is called The I Ching. Maybe you know about this, The Book of the Changes. And I especially recommend the version that Mr. Jim DeCorn put together. He put together actually from many different translations, and he put in some editor comments also and from other books. Extremely helpful. Like if you meditate on the Book of the Changes, and if you understand, it's actually, there's really interesting also correlations. If you study the DNA structure, you know, and all these chromosome relationships and everything, and if you also study the I Ching, and if you see all of these connections that is happening with the modern science and with this ancient philosophy and the wisdom that is extremely applicable to every situation in our human lives on every single human level, human interactions, our own individual body, our, you know, other things in the society, and the dynamics between the different social groups in the different countries, all these things, if you read these books, is just extremely helpful to upgrade our perception.
Dana, I want to thank you so much for being a part of this show. Please let us know where people can find you and what you're going to be up to.
I'm doing the charity work, you know. I teach in the Mexican girls the pole dancing lesson, because like all this racism
really?
against this Mexican. So these are main things that is happening to me. And Also, I will be putting out JFK assassination investigation video. Wow. When I talk to different people and hear their opinions with different investigators and also just different people from the Dallas on the street, you know, what they're thinking about the situation. And, you know, I get very interesting responses. And so this is my thing that is happening. Of course, I have the Patreon and everything, but I have to figure out all this like financial aspect of my art because this soliciting this green dragon energy has not been yet my main focus, but I have to focus on this.